When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Ready?
I am.
So it's September, right? Which is, quote, back to school. Well, so we get my little two-year-old in early childhood education. It's not called preschool now. It's called, or at least where we're, it's called ECE, early childhood education.
Okay.
Which is, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's really early. She's two, isn't she?
And a half. But it's basically glorified daycare.
Okay.
So we send her 3 times a week and she goes for 4 hours. Now she could stay like longer, but Heidi wants her to come home. So we take, you know, we take our daughter and we drop her off. And by the way, it's like the worst thing ever. She's hysterically crying, which I gather is normal, I guess, for young kids. And we've waited and we've spent the time, you know what I mean? Like we've done the days there and the whole thing. And I don't know. It's brutal, man. You're trying to leave and the kid's like hysterical at the window, pounding on the window. It was awful. The teachers are like, go. So anyway, this whole thing has been sort of like, I thought it was going to be great. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was going to be awesome and she was going to school and how cute it is. And the whole thing has been really kind of unsettling. So, you know, dropping her off and she's hysterical and I'm leaving hysterical. And then Heidi's like, I don't want her to go 5 days a week. I want her to go 3 days a week and all this stuff. So then there is an interesting point to this, I promise everyone out there. So then we've had all these little, you know, it's discovery day, it's orientation day, it's, you know, all these different meetings, right, of various, where like they've come to the house and they've met her, and the teachers have come to the house and met Lou and assessed her, and like we've taken tours of the school, and so I felt like really oriented. I'm like, we're oriented.
we're oriented.
I'm oriented, I got it. So we get this thing in the mail, and it's another mandatory orientation. And I've heard stories from other parents about, you know, how like the culture of school and how there's always flyers for different events. And it's like, we need you to fundraise. We need you to speak. We need you to do this. We need you to do that. Mm-hmm. So we go into the school, which is, by the way, like utopia. Respect for each other, respect for creatures, like as green as possible, all organic. So of course, Heidi, you know, being like her little peaceful, green, gardening, happy, like self, finds this school. Okay. And it really is. It's awesome. I have to say, it's so cool. It's up in the mountains and it's like, it's beautiful. Finds this school and she's like, this is heaven. I wish I was here every day. I want the kids to go here. So anyway, they've got like this whole parent-teacher community, and it's like a very granola kind of hippie commune kind of place. So we've got to go to another mandatory meeting, and I'm so busy right now, I want to die. I have a book that's due. It's like all my other work of the business and having the, you know, to go back to loser and just all of this stuff. I don't have seconds in the day, right? I'm hysterical. So I come through meetings from 8 in the morning till 4:30, and then we need to leave to go to our daughter's school, which in traffic, we're not going to get there till 5:30 to sit for 2 hours to, like, drive all the way back. And all I'm thinking about is, oh, my God, that's 4 hours of my life. She's a 2-year-old, for God's sake, that goes to school 12 hours a week. Like, really, I'm dying. I'm unraveling. And all the way there, I'm in the car. I'm like, this is absurd. I don't have time for this. Do you have any idea how much stuff I need to do? And Heidi's like, if you ruin this, I swear to God, I won't speak to you for a week. Because she loves it, right? She loves this place. So we get there and we sit down. And it starts out. And meanwhile, you got to understand, like, we've not been to the school before. So I don't really know what's going on. So there's all these parents there and... you know, and I'm anxious and I'm so uncomfortable. I want to die. And the parents are kind of talking and this is the best part, right? I'm trying to do my emails on my phone. And because the school is in the mountains, there's no service. So now I'm like, oh my God, because I thought for sure I would just be able to quietly work in the corner, right? While they were doing whatever they were doing. And, so the teacher guy, like the head of the school, and they all have degrees in like early childhood education and development and this and that. And he holds his fist up in the air and he goes, "Hey-o!" And I looked at Heidi and I was like, what's happening? What's happening right now? And I hear all the parents in unison holler back, "Oh-ay!" And I was like, oh, God. Oh, my God. I'm dying. I'm falling apart. Okay. And he's like, "Hello, parents." And they're like, "Hello, Jamie." Like, and he goes, "I want you all to take a moment and look to the neighbor to your left and tell them how your day was today." Heidi is to my right, okay? So I am dying. Dying. And it's like, I'm breaking out in hives. I'm trying to make for the door. She's holding on to me. She's like, "I swear, Jill, if you ruin this for these kids, our kids, I'm going to kill you," because she wants Phoenix to go there too. And it's like through eighth grade and the whole thing. So then it's like, as the night goes on, you know, they're talking and what grade's your kid and this and that. And as the night goes on, they're like, "We want you to be a part of like the parents association and to have a parent passion booth. And we want you to set up a booth of your passion where the kids can come and talk to you about your passion." And I have now broken into a cold sweat at the thought of building my parent passion booth. Like, right. I want to die. I want to die. I want to pull her out of the school, or I want to have a frank. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm just going to level with the principal and go, "Look, man, how much money is it going to take for you to never contact me and never ask me to raise more money?" And Heidi, I've already got the checkbook out. And Heidi's like, "Babe, seriously, I mean it. It's not funny anymore. This is where our kids spend their time." I'm dying. Or Lou. So I realize, right, and it goes on for a couple of hours, and everyone's actually really sweet.
Wait, I'm still curious. Oh, who did you have to turn to and tell your day to?
Well, the best part, this woman was really lovely. Her name was like Evelyn or Evelie or something, and she runs something for the school as well as her daughter's a student there.
And you told her how your day was?
She goes, "Jamie," who's the principal guy, "you know, not only do the kids have to do the work, but the parents have to do the work as well. Like by kind of forcing yourself to get to know the other parents and co-mingling and like sharing and right." So I'm thinking to myself, I hated school. Hated it. From 0 to 12, I hated it. And to have to relive it again is traumatic.
Wait,
for me.
You're getting away. Did you tell her your day? Did you say, "Hi, I'm Jillian. This is how my day went"?
I just sort of like listened. Because she was like, she's like, "I see that you're tense." I was like, "No, I'm not tense." And I'm in my mind, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm tense. I've got 5,000 damn emails to answer. And I'm sitting here chanting, away, planning a parent passion booth. I am busy. Here's my passion. Work. I need to work. I need to go home and do my work right now." Right? I'm having a meltdown.
I don't think Evelyn would have liked that.
It was unbelievable. And so we get in the car, and I realize, and I was so miserable and so uncomfortable, and everybody was so lovely and so sweet, and I realized that it was traumatic for me because it reminded me of school.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I was like, okay, you know, I'm looking around the room and I'm like, all right, you know, here we are. And it's, you know, these people are like, everyone has a hybrid, okay? And I'm saying to Heidi, I'm like, we're not going to make it. I mean, we're not going to last 5 minutes here. Are we going to pull up in your 63 Chevy or my 69 Bronco? Like, hold on, honey. How about your G-Wagon AMG, you green little shit? Like, I mean, seriously, you know, like she's green, green, green and has a garden, but I had to have the AMG version of the G-Wagon. I mean, I was like, we're not going to make it here. I know my daughter's going to walk in and say the F word. Like, we're never going to make it at this school. We're going to get thrown out of the school imminently. But I realize it's like, we don't really fit in, you know, we're, you know, everyone's lovely and everyone's granola and everybody's down to earth and everyone shares. And I have none of those qualities. I'm antisocial. I keep to myself. I'm uncomfortable in crowds. And I realize all of this stuff comes from school. It all comes from me feeling like I didn't belong in school. So I don't like to try and belong as an adult. And I always kind of go to the beat of my own drummer. I don't like group events. You know, not only do I not fit in, I reject any opportunity to fit in.
Yeah.
And it's like, doth protest too much. And I realized that this brought up all that old stuff for me. And it was absurd as well. I mean, I wish you could have seen it. It was the most like, it was just the most kumbaya sort of granola kind of drum circle-esque, and you know, but it was the sweetest, and everything was really well-intentioned, and it is a great place for our kids, and I feel really lucky that they're there. But it tweaked my brain, dude. It was historical for me, and yeah. I thought to myself, you know something, I am gonna ruin this for our kids, like by being not kind of being involved enough or participating where it's necessary that I participate, mm-hmm. because of my own issues, like my historical issues, I'm going to put off a vibe and or do something that's going to sabotage this place for our kids. And it's a really great, I mean, dude, they've got falconers on the campus, okay? They have a farm, and it's unbelievable. It really is like utopia. It's incredible. You wish you went to school there now. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll help you build your passion booth.
My passion booth.
Brittany's got some good ideas. Jake can probably wield a hammer.
I honestly would rather stick needles in my eyes.
No, we're going to build it. It'll
build
be like
a passion
it'll
booth.
Be like Lucy's psychiatrist booth.
Remember? Right. 5 cents.
5 cents. Yeah. It'll be Jillian's passion booth.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But you could sit in your booth?
I'm going to be like, children, gather around. Today, we're going to have a lesson in food politics. Let's talk about Monsanto and lobbyists. Bastards. Like,
that's we will. We'll be behind. We'll put a little
I got to try, man. Fur? I got to rally. I got to do. So I agreed. I like they would send me emails and I'd be like delete, and because I knew Heidi was getting them and she was going to deal with it, and then I opened one and it was like, will you speak on GMOs to the parents after drop off day? And I was like, because there's this, you know, Prop 37 thing, and I was like, yes, I will. And so I'm expanding my horizons. I'm trying to be more, you know.
Well, I think it's great. I think it's great. You know what? Those buttons that were put in us a long time ago. And you know what? And we never know when they're going to get pushed. And you just had an experience of a real old one. And it's shocking. I think it more shocked you than anything, because it is shocking. You go, where the hell did that come from?
Oh, man.
And it's old.
I was fighting it all the way there. Pissed off. Anyway. So, yeah. Okay. Now what? When I say, now let's do our cheer and we'll end on that segment. Ready?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, how's it go? Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh,
ew.
Yeah! Guys, everyone, please. Everyone at home, come on. Be part of us. Do this with us. See, you feel stupid, don't you? That's right. That's how I feel. Oh,
ew. Brittany never did it.
We are back, and we have a very special old friend on the show today.
I know we do. I'm super excited.
Yeah, Myrtle Potter is
today.
Back.
Myrtle is on. Yeah. And for those of you who have not heard our previous podcast with Myrtle, she is the lady we call our trusted voice in healthcare. Myrtle, welcome back.
Hey there, Jillian. Hi, Janice.
Hey, Myrtle.
How are you, buddy?
I'm well. So well. So glad to be here.
Thank you so much for taking the time. And I just want to explain to our listeners, the reason we call you the trusted voice in healthcare is essentially because you worked in the field. You ran one of the top pharmaceutical companies for how many years?
I ran Bristol-Myers Squibb for about 5 years, a big division there. And I ran Genentech for about 5 years.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot that one. And then on top of it, survived a life-threatening situation.
I sure did. I had a life-threatening allergic reaction to a medication, and it took me about a year to come back. But thank goodness I'm here, and I'm healthy, and I'm so glad to be helping you guys.
And that's exactly what Myrtle does, is basically through her own experiences and her own history, she gives us information on how to navigate the healthcare system, which can be really intimidating and overwhelming. And today, we're going to do a segment on how to survive a hospital stay. And you sent me a fact here. You said an estimated 9 million hospital patients are harmed each year during the course of their care?
Yes, it's the truth, Jillian. You know, as much as we like to think that we're going to the hospital to get well, and for the most part that happens,
right,
there are oftentimes bad things that happen in hospitals that are easily prevented. So I'm hoping to talk about a few of those things today.
You know, it's so funny you say that. I'm just going to throw out one personal story, and then we'll get right to the points. But one of my executive producers, who I worked with on The Doctors, his mother was killed by a doctor who prescribed the wrong dosage of a certain medication, and it literally killed her. And he told me the fact was that more people die from accidents like you're talking about within the hospital or doctors making mistakes than they do in car accidents every year.
Yes. Medical errors are a problem. And with as many of us who are seeking care in the healthcare system, it just makes it even more important that all of us take all the measures we can to be our own advocates. So hospital stays are of particular concern to me for lots of reasons, and I think there's some simple things that we can do.
Okay, so the first one, you say good morning procedures. What is this?
What I really want people to do is to, when they have a choice, Jillian, get in, get your procedures done before 9 a.m. The data say that you are 4 times less likely to have a complication from anesthesia, which could be fluctuating blood pressure, nausea problems, post-op pain, than those who are coming in after 4 o'clock. Here's the other reason. Early in the morning, your doctors are rested.
Right.
They are rested. They've had a good night's sleep. If you're lined up and your number of patient, 15 of the day coming in after 5, we all get tired toward the end of the day.
So true.
I like to see people go in early in the morning.
That's, something you never think of your doctor as being human. But even when we do silly things, even when we do the podcasts, like we record several at a time, and by the last one, you definitely get the most.
Exactly.
They get a little wacky a little later on in the day. But yeah, when you're dealing with healthcare, that's not at all a good thing. Now this one says, take a seat. So take a seat in a chair, not on your sheets. Explain.
So we've all heard these nightmarish stories about patients getting MRSA infections in the hospital.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Those infections are hard to control, and they are infections that get transmitted generally inside of a hospital. So when you have someone visiting you in the hospital, your loved ones, they want to sit in your bed. The babies want to come up and hold you. Keep your family off your bed. They bring germs in from the outside.
Wow.
They are not in the sterile setting that you're in the hospital. So to the extent that you can have them take a seat and sit in a chair after they've said their hello, it's so much better for you.
Wow. I can't tell you how many times. I remember when Heidi had our son, all of her friends are sitting on the edge of the bed. I mean, she just had a major surgery. She just had a C-section.
Exactly. Well, oh, and we know for sure that we can reduce the number of infections by 70% if we can keep people off the bed and we can make sure they're washing their hands when they're coming in or going out, or using those antiseptics that so many hospitals have pasted on the wall. You know, you squeeze a little container and get some out.
I sure do.
Yeah, make people control their germs.
Okay. And now take a picture of your doctor.
Yes. So here's what's fascinating. I was recently in the hospital with my father, who was ill. And between the turnstile of physicians who came in, I could barely keep up with who was whom. Mm. So I really encourage us to use our little smartphones. Most people have them. Pick it up, snap the picture of your doctor, ask the doctor for his name or her name, make a note of it. And that way, as new people are coming in to see you, you can feel perfectly safe in saying, I'm sorry, you're new to me, I haven't met you.
Right.
Because it's possible that the doctor is in the wrong room. You just want to make sure that the person
then
seeing you is a person who's supposed to be seeing you.
You know what? That's, God, you make a good point. And when we were in for Heidi, there was a different person in. Every hour, every couple of hours, and by the way, telling us different things. And I was like, wait a sec, the one woman just said, don't pump. And now you're saying pump. And it's like, and she was like, who told you that? And I was like, I don't know, the woman that was in here an hour ago. You know, and I had no idea. You're right. It was just a cast of characters that were coming in and out of the room. It was chaos. It didn't even occur to me to actually sort of like, take note of who they are, what their name is, what they look like, and by the way, what they said.
Exactly. And it's really important to understand what they say, and I will be the first to tell you, doctors can talk really, really fast. So make a buddy of your nurse. The nurse has a little bit more time. Nurses are so great at breaking things down into language that the everyday person can understand.
Yeah.
I know I do much better with a nurse than I do with a doctor oftentimes, and understanding what's going on is so important to you staying in control of your situation when you're in a hospital.
Yeah. God, that's honestly, the nurses, you're right. The nurses were the ones that were giving us the most information. And I remembered wondering why that was happening when you think that the doctor would be the one that would be doing that, but it was the nurses.
Yes. The nurses are trained to do that in school. And I think as much as our medical schools try to train doctors, you know, they've got the heavy load. So let the nurses help them out. Make a buddy of your nurse.
Okay. Now, the last one, check it out before you check in. Okay, so you're saying check out the care, right, at various hospitals.
Yes, I'm also saying not only the care, you also want to know that your doctor and that hospital has lots of experience dealing with your ailment. If you have a major cardiac problem, then find the major center in your area that is known for the work that they do on cardiovascular problems. And I just love a couple of really great resources. Whynotthebest.org is a great website for seeing what hospitals specialize in what. And also usnews.com and HealthGrades are fabulous resources. I use them myself. When you have a heart problem, you don't want to go to the hospital that specializes in delivering babies. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you two things about this. Number one, I actually didn't ever think, I don't know why, I guess it's just pure ignorance. I didn't ever understand that you had a choice. I always thought you go to the one near your house or the one that takes your care. Like, I live in an area where Cedars-Sinai is, so you just go to Cedars.
Well, Cedars is a great hospital, so you're really fortunate. You've got a great hospital near you. But oftentimes, when you are preparing to have a surgical procedure and you know you're going to be admitted, you will have your doctor and you will have an option about which surgeon might be working with you. So to the extent that as you're making your choice around your surgeon, you can also add into that equation what hospital they're doing surgery at. That can be another valuable piece of information.
I love the prep, by the way, because, you know, you don't ever end up, well, we did prep with regard to the baby, but usually it's like something happens and then you go to the hospital. But I never thought about being prepared. And quite honestly, it's, I'm surprised that there is such a variation in the quality of hospitals. I mean, shouldn't they all be held to a certain standard?
They're all held to a certain standard, as are bankers and plumbers and exercise specialists. But there's also the best. And there are organizations who are independent who take a lot of time to give consumers a really good sense of who's considered the best of the best. If you're not great, you'll be shut down. There's no doubt about that if you're a hospital. But consumers have great choice today, and I just love it when I see them exercise that choice.
I just want to ask you, and I know you sort of answered this question, but I really want you to drive it home for people, because I think we feel overwhelmed and we've got so much to do and we just expect people to do their job and be great at their job. So it's kind of like, why do I need to monitor my own health care? Why do I need to check into these things? Why do I need to stay on top of all this stuff? Isn't that the doctor's job? Isn't that the job of the healthcare system? But clearly, you know, you've said people are human, mistakes happen, but can you just drive that point home for me one more time?
Like,
why people need, how important and why it's so important.
Jillian, it used to be that even when we went to go see our doctors in the office, the doctor had a good 15, 20 minutes with us. Now the average visit is under 4 minutes.
Oh, God.
The system is strained. It's overwhelmed, and there are even more patients coming into the healthcare system, which I'm personally thrilled about. But it does mean that each of us as consumers has to take more responsibility for vetting the people that we are seeing. And if you need to be backed up by taking somebody with you, because sometimes it's easier to listen with two people, then you need to do that. Our system is a great system. It's one of the finest systems in the world. But just like you take responsibility for how your car runs, you take responsibility for whether or not your house needs a new coat of paint, you take responsibility for the grades that your kids are getting in school, you must, as heads of household, as members of your household, you got to take responsibility for your health care, and that means you have to be active.
Yeah. Thank you. Myrtle, thank you so much. And for people to get in touch with you, what is your website?
www.myrtlepotter.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Myrtle Potter.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And Jillian, congratulations on your beautiful expanding family. I'm so happy for you. I send you so many blessings and so much love.
Thank you so much. And thank you again for sharing this advice with us and being a part of the show. You are our absolute favorite guest. We adore you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Scary, isn't it? It's scary. You want to think it's not scary out there, but it is. But I think it's when you have the information, it helps you feel better able to manage the things in the world that you don't know or that are frightening.
Yeah. And you know what's amazing about Myrtle has this kind of inside information you just don't think about. You just go, oh, I never thought about that. Never thought about
that.
Well,
we don't work in, you know, she worked at like a major corporation as a CEO. I mean, she knows the ins and outs of the whole thing and then almost died at the negligence of a hospital and a doctor.
Yeah.
So that's not funny, but I mean, look, and she turned around and was like, if I have all this access and all this information and this can happen to me, what's happening to the average bear?
Sure.
And this kind of, so anyway, with that said, I hope you guys enjoyed that segment. We love Myrtle.
Yeah,
and
she's cool.
Now what, Janice? Are you gonna
now I'm gonna think of something special that we'll do.
What?
I'm not sure. It's gonna be something very special, but when we come back, it'll be really something else.
That's a good tease.
Really?
I don't feel I can live up to it, but I would be like, oh my god, now what are they gonna do? What if it sucks though? Then you're gonna lose all
then
your
Then you're gonna have to come up with a 4-pack to Disneyland. If it sucks, to give to people. You're going to have to say, I'm sorry that sucks. Here's a 4-pack to Disneyland on me.
For everybody. For all my men.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey. No, what are you talking about?
I'm just saying that I think that the 50 Shades thing has gone nuts. I think, why can't someone just write a book and let it be a book? Why does there have to be like, ooh, the 50 Shades tour and the 50 Shades, handcuffs and the 50. Now women are going into hardware stores and buying rope. They're buying rope.
No, they're not.
I read it in a book.
50 Shades rope?
No, 50 Shades rope, like a thing. There's all kinds. I can't see anything with these damn. It's just wrong.
Okay.
Why do we have to go all nuts? Why is this? I know that this book has been taught to death.
Okay.
I realize that.
Yeah, we're still talking about 50 Shades of Grey.
What I'm trying to understand is why now? This pervert book, what you call it, 50 Shades, which I'm sorry, I have to steal that from you, 50 Shades of Pervert, very funny.
Did I say that?
You did.
That's wicked clever.
That's very funny.
Okay.
But why now?
Why is it so big
now?
There's
been pervert books. There's been these kind of things written all the time. What is it about the age we're in? Is there a frustration in the air? Is there that? Because I was talking to my neighbor.
Oh,
right.
The expert on all things pervert books.
I was out pruning, and we were having the conversation, and he said, I get the gossip of the neighborhood, right? Because there's all married couples in the neighborhood. I'm at my mom and dad's place. Right?
Uh-huh.
And I said, so I'm getting the dirt on how they're getting divorced. These people are, and these people are, someone that's getting this, that. And I said, and he said, that things changed for him when his wife read the book. I said, really? He goes, everybody in the neighborhood, all the wives in the neighborhood are reading the book. I went, you're kidding. He says, yeah. He says, she read it. And now the sexy, sexy.
And I said, sexy, sexy.
I said, really? He goes, it's changed everything.
Well, that's kind of great, though, no?
Well, I'm just so, I've read the dirty parts of it.
Oh.
I got the book and just read the dirty bits.
Uh-huh.
And it's quite dirty. Oh. Like, it's, like you're shocked.
Like what?
You haven't read it.
I actually haven't read it, but I don't have time to read it.
I don't read it because I don't want to read anything else but the dirty parts. But, it's against the wall and I was talking to some gals and they said that they tried it and it hurt her back by doing it in the book. And one gal said, well, I'd have to wear heels to do it that way. But I guess it's all over the place. It's very, it's very like, oh, come on, let's just do it. And they just... against a wall and stuff.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is...
What is she doing?
No, what I'm trying to figure out is, why now?
I don't know why now. But is this the first time this has happened? I thought historically women were, into this kind of stuff.
No, I think historically,
Anne Rice wrote a chronicle called The Beauty Chronicles. And it's the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exact same stuff. But it has to do with, sex slaves and stuff.
I just think it's indicative of the time. I think there's something in the cosmos that why this is popular now.
Yeah, Janice, I think the real question here is not why is the book successful? I think the real question is, why are you obsessed with the book?
I'm not.
Oh, really?
I'm not at all.
You read it.
No, I didn't. I read the dirty part. That's it.
That's the only... It's like, dude, it's like watching a porno and saying, I only watch the dirty parts. That's all there is to it. Just because they frame it around pizza delivery, everyone knows why you're really watching it. So, you read it.
No, I read three pages of it.
There's only three dirty parts in it?
No, there's lots, but I got bored. It's the same thing. Bang, bang on the wall. Handcuff gives her the look.
Okay. So what's your concern about it?
My concern is, I guess it's not a concern. It just boggles my mind that it's so big.
Mm.
It's like Harry Potter big. I get Harry Potter because it was an adventure.
Expert. Get me someone on the phone. Anyone. Make it a woman.
Okay. Let's just call a woman up.
Yeah.
Let's just call somebody.
Get me someone on the phone. Call somebody at Barnes & Noble. Let's see if they understand. But what if we get a guy?
Well, we'll ask, is the woman of the store about kind, sir?
Okay. Let's see what happens. I don't know. I thought this stuff was always big, though. Maybe women are feeling more liberated.
That's what I thought.
Hello, and thank you for calling Barnes & Noble in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Nook tablet
Arkansas.
Is available.
This is the wrong part of the country to call upon this question. Arkansas?
Or
might be interesting.
All right, unbelievable, let's see. $169.
I guarantee they're going to be conservative in Arkansas.
They'll give you a guided tour.
Bill Clinton was from Arkansas.
And help you decide.
Well, and he was repressed. Look what happened.
Oh.
We are located at 4144 North College Avenue.
Right? For our... By the operator. Is the Kentucky. Oh, did that not work?
You have now purchased 700 books.
Hey. Oh. Okay.
Thank you for calling Barnes & Noble. It's Peter Hermendorf call.
Oh, hey, Peter. Is there a... I've got kind of a personal book I wanted to talk about. Is there a female clerk about?
Not really. I've got one, but she just went on a break. Let me...
Well, Peter, maybe you can help us.
Okay.
So, all right. We need to let you know what's going on.
Okay.
We're recording a podcast, and my producer wants to understand why 50 grades of... what is it?
50 grays of shade.
50 shades.
50 shades of gray?
50, yes!
Okay.
Why that is such a phenomenon. Now, we know it's like a porno book, but Janice wants to understand why now is the book so huge when there have been other books like this in the past, right? Like The Beauty Chronicles was something like this by Anne Rice. And
Erotica always kind of sells well.
Oh, I mean, so this is not new news?
No, not really. I mean, yeah, just in the sense of, I think it took off because, well, frankly, because of media coverage. I mean, it got, you know, played on, oh, gosh, what was it? What's her name? Kelly Ripa?
Kelly Ripa did it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that
see,
was like
that's telling.
3 months ago or something.
Okay, so she featured it, and then everyone started.
And then it took off from there, so.
No, the women that are coming in to buy it, are they, is there a certain age, or is it just, it's all over the map? Everybody's
all
buying.
Over the map.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's not just women either.
Really?
So, yeah. It's a lot of dudes coming in buying it for their wives.
Peter, have you read it?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
These are good observations. So there's nothing in particular about this book, but in general, the category sells really well.
I think it's more, you know, media exposure, really.
Good to know.
So, all right.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Not a problem.
Have a great day.
You too.
Well, we need to talk to someone who's read it. That's also part of the problem. I'm going to ask the expert. Hang on a second. I'm going to actually ask somebody who knows.
Hi.
Andy.
Yeah.
Hi, bud. Listen.
Okay.
So you're on the podcast, but this is actually not about fitness, pregnancy, or supermodel bodies. Remember when all you guys were starting a book club for 50 Shades of Grey?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because I think that the book club, it was an excuse to get together.
Okay.
And then it was an excuse to talk about sex and not just like normal sex, like kind of bad girl sex. And at least you don't feel so dirty and perverted if you have people around you. And then we could all, under the guise of literature, talk about dirty, bad sex.
There it is! Under the guise of literature, it's providing permission. That's the answer you're looking for, Janice.
Yes.
Okay, now, Andy, but wait, here's the other question.
Okay.
So is this the first, like, porno book that you've ever bought?
I read a Nay Nin. You know, back of the kind of.
Yeah,
but hers I felt was a little bit more like poetic prose, and you kind of went, ooh, that kind of turns me on because it's well written. This was kind of like an amateur talking about really dirty stuff, and then it wasn't really well done. It didn't convince me, and so I felt a little dirtier. I really did. I felt dirtier with the case, right? It was a little dirtier because, you know, it wasn't really literature. It was just porn and paragraphs.
Aha! Okay, but there hasn't really been anything else out there that's quite this raw about it? Because, like I was saying with the Beauty Chronicles, Anne Rice's book, there's actually, like, a lot of gay sex in it, like boy sex, boy-on-boy sex, which I don't know that women would, I just don't know that they would care so much. I should probably speak for myself.
Well,
but
you know what, though? If it's written well, it's kind of like watching a documentary on people you have no idea what they're... If it's different and it's cultural and it happens to be sexual, I think it's interest because it exists as long as it's presented well. I just felt 50 Shades of Grey was not presented well. Like, I feel like she's a new writer, and it was just her way of kind of maybe just finding, like, you know, maybe it's cathartic for her, who knows? But for me, I would read anything, even if it was sexuality, as long as it's presented to me so I can understand it.
Okay, that's good. See, Andy is sort of like, you know, every posse kind of has their top dog, and Andy is kind of like our group's go-to. So I knew that Andy would have the answer.
No, that was
for
an
me.
Excellent answer.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
You know, and like, yeah, it's like I knew Andy. Thank you, Andy.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, and so now am I allowed to write, finish reading the second and the third and still be an intellect, or am I just a pervert?
Because we'll be getting reports on the second and third version from you.
They're not mutually exclusive. You can be an intellect and a pervert. I don't know that I would necessarily, after what you've just said, combine them into this one particular category. But I think that's extremely helpful. I really think the answer you were looking for, Janice, is permission. Whether it's like permission from the masses through media or permission through, quote, literature and intellect. I think that women were looking for permission. And then when other women got on board, it was like, well, they're all on board. Oh, my God. Okay,
exactly.
You're reading it. Okay, well, I'm going to read it. Okay, well, I'm going to read it. And I think that's the answer, I think.
That is the answer. And here's a little interesting thing, too. You know how, like, you know, even on, like, let's say, like, Sirius, they have, like, Playboy Channel and all that. Most women, demographically, the studies were done, poo-poo the topics that are discussed. But when they started a little bit of a 50 Shades of Grey kind of genre, women called in by the dozens and talked about sexuality. And so it's the presentation that you have to legitimize it to lift your skirts, so to speak.
Look at that.
So there you go. You
see? Andy, you're brilliant.
No, there's nothing this bitch doesn't know, I'm telling you. She's a wealth of information.
That's great.
You cannot imagine. I'm serious.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And if you guys have any other questions for Andy, you can tweet her at Andrea Orbeck. Yes. Yeah, so this is going to be a real shift in expertise areas for you, bud.
And if you ever see me, like, in a waiting room and you think that it's like Grey's Anatomy on the outside, inside, you know now I've got a perverted book.
Yeah. That's exactly right. It looks like Us magazine, but really on her. Oh, this is why Andy was like, Jill, do you have a used tablet? I need to get 50 Shades of Grey, and I don't want anyone to see it. I remember now.
That's why I first got it. I was too embarrassed to be out there because I wasn't standing proud, putting my, you know, literature freak flag. I wasn't ready to fly it. And now that I see women, like, you know, in their 60s even, on the beach on the holidays, and I was like, you go, girl. I know what chapter you're on, sweetie.
Very cool. This is very straight cool. From the straight girl's mouth right there for you. Thanks, bud.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate it.
Okay, I'm exhausted from all this talk about this sex. I need to have a lie down.
It was you acting out the sex on the wall by yourself in the corner.
Maybe that was
it. That must have been tiring.
Well, it's not like it's something I haven't done before. So you know what? No, I mean by myself.
No, by myself. Oh, even worse. Even worse. Oh, my God. I want to stick hot pokers in my eardrums.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no.
Just,
no.
It's hot here.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm going to be sick.
Okay,
oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, stop. Oh,
I got to go puke somewhere. Oh, God.
Okay, well, go home. Let's go home then. You go home. You go home. And I'm going to go.
You're going to horrify
our
listeners.
Have some quiet time.
Doesn't sound very quiet to me.
Stop!
Me, stop! You!
I didn't mean to say what I said. Now I'm all embarrassed. Okay, let's go home now. Okay.
Fine.
Okay,
goodbye.
For you, forever alone. like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.